I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Gracious and loving God, you have promised to be wherever we are. You are among us, whether we are here in the sanctuary or worshiping from the safety of our homes. God, open our ears, our hearts, our minds, our eyes. And in the midst of my words, may your word be clearly heard. Amen. Like it or not, storms are a part of life. Whether we're talking about the storms that have lightning and thunder and gale force winds and cause our four-legged furry friends to go scurrying for shelter, or the life storms that shake us to the core, that disrupt our familiar routines, that force us to make changes that are difficult, even painful. How we navigate life's storms matters, which prompts me to ask, do we as people of faith have anything or anyone that can help us navigate these storms? And if so, what? Who? As we shall see, the one we have chosen to follow, Jesus, is quite a pro when it comes to calming storms and navigating them. And thankfully, Scripture is full of illustrations of everyday, ordinary people like you and like me who have been able to rise above life's storms because they had access to God's power and strength and help. So where do we find the courage to navigate life's storms? Let's look at some of the lessons we can learn from Scripture. One we did not read this morning, but the Hebrew scripture for today happens to be the story of David and Goliath. I'm sure you know that story, but let me refresh your memory. David had been chosen to be king over Israel following King Saul. And as it turns out, well, Israel had some enemies, among them the Philistines. They challenged them to battle, and rather than sending out armies to fight against each other, they decided that David would represent the Israelites and the giant Goliath would represent the Philistines. Knowing that David was going up against quite a giant, King Saul, former King Saul, said, "You must wear my armor in order to go into battle." But young David said, "No, I will not wear your armor." "Why not?" "It doesn't fit me. It's way too big, way too cumbersome. It is not who I am." Remember, David had been a shepherd and was accustomed to tending sheep. He had never worn armor. He had never used weapons except for his trusty slingshot, which enabled him to ward off would-be predators who presented a danger to his flock. And through years of practice, he had become quite the perfect aim when it came to using that unassuming little sling. Granted, David, physically speaking, was no match for the brawn and bravado of the giant Goliath. But what Goliath did not anticipate is not only did David bring his little sling with him into battle, he brought God. David knew that he himself would never be able to win a battle, whether it was against an enemy or battles in life, without God by his side. And so he went forth confident, because he knew he was not going alone. Yes, David was small in stature compared to Goliath, but his faith was huge. It was large, and it enabled him to be victorious. So what do we learn from David about battling life's storms and navigating them? Well, number one, We need to acknowledge we can't do this alone. It doesn't matter how large we are or how small we are, how good we think we are or how much power we think we have. We cannot navigate the storms of life alone. Something else David knew. He had to be himself. He couldn't be someone else. He couldn't wear Saul's armor. He couldn't do it Saul's way. He needed to be who he was. And if we're going to navigate life's storms, we need to be who we are, unapologetically. In the words of Mae Sarton, to survive life's storms, we have to dare to be ourselves, no matter how frightening or strange that self may turn out to be. I think of the words also of E.E. Cummings, who wrote, to be nobody but ourselves in a world which is doing its best night and day to make us everybody else is to fight the hardest battle any human being will ever fight. If we are going to navigate the storms of life, we need to be authentic. Sociologist Brené Brown wrote this about authenticity. Authenticity is a collection of choices that we have to make every single day. It's about the choice to show up and be real, the choice to be honest, the choice to let our true selves be seen. Not long ago, as we gathered on a Thursday morning to prayer walk, a fellow prayer walker gave me a little knit heart, purple, not surprisingly, and attached to that little knit purple heart was a tag with these words on it, "You are stronger than the storm." I have that little heart on my desk at home where I see it every day. Because yes, I am stronger than the storm. Not because I have some special power, but because I have access to God's power. And navigating the storms becomes possible because that power is within reach, not just for me, but for each one of us. Which leads us to focus on today's gospel lesson, which is all about storms, and not just the one that Jesus calmed on that dark night. Let's look a little more closely, and let me set the stage for the story that unfolds. Jesus had been teaching all day long along the shores of the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum. He was tired. Night was falling. It was dark. And he said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." Now I'm going to come back to that in just a moment, but let's consider what happened when the disciples got in the boat with Jesus. Now one would think the disciples, especially since many of them were former fishermen, that before getting in the boat with Jesus at night, they might have taken the weather into consideration. At the very least, they would have looked at the sky and perhaps taken note of clouds or the wind direction. But evidently on that particular night, they did not. Or if they did, they ignored it. Because they pushed out the boat with Jesus, got in, and there they were out in the middle of the water. Jesus was weary. So he did what you do when you're weary. He curled up in the back of the boat and took a nap. During that time, the wind began to howl. The waves began to crash against the boat. Water began pouring in, and as Pastor Addie has already shared with us, the disciples were pretty scared. In fact, they were pretty sure they were going to sink. They were annoyed that Jesus was sleeping. They shook him awake. They accused him of not caring. I would make the observation, though, Jesus was not sleeping on the job. He was simply resting. And when he was jolted awake, he knew exactly what to do. He calmed the storm with his voice. Note, Jesus does not prevent life's storms. but he calms them. And every now and then, he doesn't even calm the storm. Instead, he calms us. Let me say that again. Jesus doesn't calm the storms all the time. But when he doesn't, when the winds are still raging, when there is still chaos around us, he has a way of calming us if we are willing. We almost have the sense that as Jesus embarked on this journey, he knew exactly what was going to unfold, and he was ready. Okay, so the weather-made storm has been calmed, but the storm isn't over. Because remember, Jesus said, "Let us go across to the other side." Why is that significant? Well, the other side of the Sea of Galilee was enemy territory, unfamiliar land. It was where the Gentiles lived. It was the land of the Gerasenes, a place that most Jews did not want to go to. Let us go across to the other side. It was an invitation to his disciples to leave the familiar shores of Capernaum and go to a place they did not know. The familiar shore was a comfortable shore, a wonderful shore, the shore where many of the disciples had been called to follow Jesus, the shore where Jesus taught his first parables, the shore where countless lives had been transformed. But if all we ever do is stay on the familiar, comfortable shores, God will not be able to work through us. Jesus invited his disciples to ride the waves with him into unfamiliar territory so they might become more than they already were. And it was no surprise that when they landed on the other side, their very first encounter was with a demon-possessed man, the first of many encounters that would challenge the disciples to view the world through a different lens, to view all of God's creation and all people as sacred and possessing inherent value and worth. As a people, we are still learning to do that, often resisting every step of the way because we like our comfortable, familiar shore. We resist, we drag our feet, we argue that the other shore really doesn't matter. I couldn't help but think about this week as finally, after many years, June 19th, familiarly known as Juneteenth, became a federal holiday. Why does it matter? Why is it such a big deal? Because some think it is not. Well, let me give you a little bit of background. It was on June 19th of 1865 that slavery in our country finally came to an official end. But note, that was 2.5 years after President Abraham Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation, freeing the slaves. What took so long? Well, we as a people are slow to embrace change, slow to embrace that which rattles the status quo, slow to make changes that upset our familiar routines and ways of making a living. It has taken 156 years for us to acknowledge the importance of what happened on that day. And we acknowledge it finally because some people have persisted. They have insisted on pushing the boat out to the other side. They have insisted upon speaking up and calling to our attention those parts of history that have been silenced, the things that have not been told. Because you see, history tends always to be written by the winners. And seldom does their version of the story include certain messy parts, and those on the margins, and those who have been trampled on the way to victory. Come across with me to the other side, Jesus said. Step out of your comfort zone. See the world differently. Recognize that in this world, all people possess inherent value and worth because they are created in God's image. My friends, there will always be storms in life. Not just the ones that produce rain and thunder and lightning, but the storms that shake our lives, that jolt us to reality, that challenge us to change. 24/7 sun and pleasant weather isn't an option. But the good news is God, Christ, they know about navigating storms. They know about calming storms. I like to think of Jesus as my chief storm navigating officer. He is the one who anchors me. And I love that image of being anchored. In fact, one of my favorite songs sung by the Canadian tenors is entitled Anchored Me and includes these words. When sadness crashes like an ocean, when fear is deeper than the sea, when I am swallowed by the darkness, will you come and anchor me? When we ask that question of Jesus, his answer is always a resounding yes. I will anchor you. I will give you calm in the midst of the storm. How we prepare for the storms of life matters. We prepare best, I believe, by staying close to the one who is our anchor. And we navigate those storms best when we remember we do not navigate them alone. Running from the storms doesn't work. Embracing them with God's help does. I close by reminding you with words of Henry Nouwen. He wrote, "Let us not be afraid to receive each day's surprise." I've changed that just a little bit. Let us not be afraid to receive each day's storm. It will open a new place in our hearts. Storms that open new places in our hearts. May we embrace them. May we trust that God is in them with us. And may we navigate them together with God's help as people of faith. Amen.